Today is Good Friday. It is indeed good for us. On this day, the Lord Jesus offered the perfect sacrifice of infinite value by which we have been redeemed. In offering himself on the cross, the Lord Jesus endured the punishment due for all the sins committed in the whole sad history of the human race. And he did something else as well. He showed us the perfection of human life. In spite of the brutal abuse he received in his passion, and until the very end, the Lord persevered in obedience to the Father. Not my will, but yours be done. And in charity toward others. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. On this day, on the first Good Friday, in enduring the consequences of sin and in giving us a model for human life, the Lord Jesus restored justice. In the sacrifice of the cross, he took on himself the punishment that was due in justice for all the sins of the world. And in the perfect model of human life that he gave us on the cross, he showed us how to practice justice, how to give to God and to neighbor what is due them. That's the classic definition of justice, to give to each what is due. The Lord showed us how to give to the Father what is due him, obedience, and how to give what is due to our neighbor, charity. This restoration of justice that took place on Golgotha fulfills the promise we heard at Mass this past Monday in the reading that day from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one with whom I am pleased, upon whom I have put my spirit. He shall bring forth justice to the nations, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he shall not break, and a smoldering wick he shall not quench, until he establishes justice on the earth. On the cross, Christ Jesus, servant and son of the Father, brought forth justice for the nations. As Isaiah says, not crying out, not shouting, not making his voice heard in the street. Those would be the means that usually come to mind when we think of overcoming injustice. Let's cry out in the streets, in the media. Let's demonstrate. Let's resist. Let's make life uncomfortable for the oppressors. Maybe let's rough them up a little. That was not the method of the Lord Jesus. He did not harangue the unjust. He did not smite the unjust. He did not beat them. He did not imprison them. He did not compel them. He took the effects of all the injustice of sin on himself. And those effects were horrifying, taking the punishment due for all the sins of the world did involve terrible suffering, didn't it? Why was that? The agony of the cross reminds us that sin is serious business because sin has serious consequences. It's not just a matter of some wrong choices. A quick, "my bad," doesn't suffice to undo the damage that sin has done. And the suffering of the cross is also related to the second point, that there on the cross, the Lord showed us the perfection of human life, giving what is due to the Father and to neighbor. The suffering of the Passion reminds us that doing the right thing, giving to God and to neighbor what is due, will not always be easy. In this fallen world, doing the right thing is often painful. Sometimes because others won't like it. More often, just because saying yes to God and neighbor requires saying no to myself. In doing the right thing, we are in fact doing what we were created to do. But that doesn't mean it's always easy. It's a bit like when a surgeon fixes your bad knee. You need to begin to use that knee again in the right way. And it hurts. That's why people in rehab call physical therapists physical terrorists. They make you do things you wouldn't choose to do for your enjoyment. But you have to do them. If you don't practice using that knee properly, it will never be right. That part of your body will never be strong enough to function well. We find this image in the letter to the Hebrews. "So strengthen your drooping hands and your weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed." This dimension of the cross as the instrument of our healing is well attested in sacred scripture. In the gospel from St. John that we heard on Tuesday of last week, we heard the Lord foretell his crucifixion saying, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will realize that I am." Earlier in St. John's Gospel, the Lord explicitly compared his being lifted up on the cross to Moses lifting up the bronze serpent for the healing of those who have been bitten by seraph serpents on account of their grumbling against God in the desert. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So it is clear. The Lord is lifted up on the cross for our healing and restoration. In yet another place in John's Gospel, this time later, as the Passion is nearing, the Lord returns to this image of being lifted up and says, "And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." So, it is also very clear that the cross is lifted up before us and before the whole world as an invitation to be healed. How so? Well, I look at Christ crucified, bruised, and bloodied, and I see in him my own human nature that he has come to share with us. In a sense, I can see myself. Like the Lord on the cross, I myself am a little beat up by sin. Sometimes by the sins of others. More often, I'm ashamed to say, with self-inflicted wounds. But the cross that is lifted up before me is an invitation to be healed. That is, to receive the mercy available through this sacrifice that the Lord has made, and then to follow his example of perfect obedience to the Father, charity toward others. The cross is an invitation to healing. But it's no use trying to hide it. The healing will be a little painful as the physical therapy after surgery is painful. We don't choose surgery and physical therapy for the pain. We choose them for the promise of restoration on the other side. Throughout the ages, the Holy Cross is held up before the world as an invitation to healing and life. And in the past week, I would say, we have seen the cross held up before the world again in a most dramatic way. On Monday of this Holy Week, the great Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris was ravaged by fire. Our old Cathedral of St. Raphael here in Madison would never have been mistaken for Notre Dame. But you know, it burned for the same reason and in the same way. In both cases, it was in the roof of the church, framed with great wooden beams that had been drying out for centuries, that the fire did its worst. The beams in Old St. Raphael had been drying out for 150 years. The beams in Notre Dame for 850 years. But the effect was pretty much the same. All right. So it was especially the roof of Notre Dame that was engulfed in flames. And Notre Dame, like all the great Gothic cathedrals, is a cruciform church. The apse, the nave, and the two transepts are in the shape of a great cross. So what did you see in photographs taken from helicopters and drones above the burning cathedral? You saw there on the Ile de la Cité, the island in the Seine, at the very heart of Paris, where the city began, arguably at the very center of European civilization, a huge cross of fire. And just in case you missed that, after the fire was extinguished, looking down the nave of Notre Dame, strewn with charred rubble, one bright, shining thing could be seen. At the far end of the nave, behind the altar, there is a great Pietà carved in stone, the Blessed Mother with the dead body of the Lord. Out from the sculpture arises a metal cross, the empty cross from which the body of the Lord would have been taken down. That metal cross was the only thing shining in Notre Dame after the fire. The cross in the burning roof and in the Pietà was once more lifted up in front of the people of Paris, of France, of Europe, and of the West. The cross was once more lifted up as an invitation to healing and life. While Notre Dame was burning, and ever since, thousands of people have come to look, to cry, to pray. Some commentators have criticized those people for hypocrisy. The vast majority of Parisians generally show very little interest in ever walking through the door of a church. But now that there's a great fire at Notre Dame, they're all pretending to care. That's way too harsh. The grief is very real. And I don't think it's just about a building that is an architectural landmark and a cultural treasure. Most of the French are very secular, and many are quite anti-clerical. That's true. But confronted with the loss of Notre Dame, there was, I think, a deep realization that there is something there that is central to French and to European identity. Paris, France, most of Europe has wandered away from the faith. That's been going on for a long time. But just in these past few years, between having a very low birth rate in Europe and seeing a rapidly growing Muslim population that is very militant and aggressive, people are realizing that a Europe that is not Christian lacks the means to survive, the will to survive, and indeed a reason to survive. Medievals worked for 2 centuries on Notre Dame, most of them knowing that they would not live to see it completed, because they wanted to give to God the glory due to him in justice. In doing so, they gave their descendants a wonderful gift, far surpassing justice, a great charity of giving to all their descendants through the ages, a treasure of surpassing beauty. That is what the age of faith brought forth. What does modernity produce? Not so much of lasting value like that. We mostly consume, especially in Europe. National wealth is directed toward an ever shorter work week, a lower retirement age, and more generous public benefits. And probably better, there should be fewer of us to divide the pie, more for me that way. I don't mean to pick on the Europeans. We have the same problems, but they're further down that road than we are. I know, it's a dire picture. But does it not seem that in that fire at Notre Dame this week, the cross has again been held up before the West as an invitation? Look, your Western civilization has been battered and bloodied by the effects of sin. Many self-inflicted wounds among them. Here is an invitation to healing and restoration. It will be a little painful, that cannot be denied. But it is the way to life. And just one more thought. Do you think it was extravagant of the Lord to sacrifice the great cathedral of Notre Dame in order to extend this invitation? 2,000 years ago, on the first Good Friday, he sacrificed himself to first extend this invitation. To sacrifice a cathedral, even the great Notre Dame, it's nothing. In a few moments now, we will venerate the cross of the Lord, showing our profound gratitude for the price he paid to extend the invitation to healing and life to us. And as a sign that we want to open our minds and our hearts in the great Easter season ahead to follow him in the perfection of life to which he invites us.